Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see all of you here this morning. A couple announcements as we begin our service this morning. If you look on the back of your bulletin, just a reminder for the leadership team, there will be a leadership team meeting this week, December 12th, Tuesday at 6:30. So if you're on that team, be sure to put that on your calendars. Make sure you're here for that. Also, note there, just a new address for Charlotte. If you'd like to send her a card, or maybe you're sending out Christmas cards this time of year, and be sure to just make sure to acknowledge that change there, that Charlotte, she's still at Bridgewater Retirement Home, but she has just moved to a more permanent room. And so that's the address change. Be sure to take note of that. Also, following the service, we will have a called CBM. Remember all that voting we did a few weeks ago at the CBM meeting for the called positions. Those positions had been kind of put together, and there will be then just the vote on that slate of those called to those positions. So I hope that you can stay. It won't take very long, just a couple minutes following church. So I hope that you can stay and participate in that. Following the called CBM, Kenny shared this last week, that the children are going to practice choir for maybe 10 minutes or so here in the sanctuary. So following that CBM meeting, if the kids and those that are helping with that would just kind of get into the sanctuary here so they can begin their work and practice on the music that they're working on. Also, just a reminder, Bible study will happen this evening from 4 to 5. We'll be looking through chapter 8. Also, we'll have Bible study next week, but then for Christmas Eve, as well as I think New Year's Eve or day, whatever that is, the next two Sundays we won't have Bible study for Christmas and the Sunday following that. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time, Kenny? Okay.
And the plan is next Sunday after the Bible study Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
To gather together and the transportation is provided, of course.
Right.
Kids, grown ups, everybody's invited. We're going to go to Bridgewater Home and a couple shut ins.
Yeah.
So
that would be great.
It's a little short notice, but a lot of interest has popped up. If I want to do it. So.
Okay. Next Sunday, 5 o'clock here at the. At 5. Okay. And we've done that years past. I look forward to that. That would be great. It's such a nice thing to do and fun. And so, kids, I hope that you can be a part of that, and adults as well. It's just a good time. So next Sunday, 5 o'clock, if you'd like to go caroling, just be here at the church, and we'll have transportation available for you to go out and do that. Other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this second Sunday of Advent, Lord, in which we are reminded this Sunday of this Advent of peace. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you bring. Lord, we just pray that you be with us here this morning. Pray your Spirit moves in our midst, Lord, and you continue to call us to your word and to your cross. And Lord, that we are continually reminded, especially during this Christmas season, just how precious a gift that we have been given, that we have received, the gift of your Son, Jesus. We worship his name here this morning. We praise him. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to call now on the Ogorics and Alexandria. Is she here? Yeah, there she is. And Alexandria, who are going to help with the candle lighting this morning. Thank y'all for coming.
You cannot have an Advent reading about peace without reading about Jesus' birth and its announcement by angels. Although Jesus' birth appears in two gospel accounts, Luke has the most extensive version of it. You've likely heard the story many times. Either you've seen your child perform as an angel in church pageant, or you've seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special where Linus reads from Luke 2. The concept of peace...
Resonates
as a vital undercurrent throughout the New Testament where the term peace, occurring over 85 times in the Gospels and in the New Testament, among other teachings, Christians are reminded that God is the author of peace and that true peace is more than the absence of conflict, but a state of prosperity and in human flourishing found solely in Christ. During this season of Advent, as we delve deeper into the profound message of peace, let us not forget that peace with God is made possible through the redemption story of Jesus' atonement, and that's why Christ taught, "In me you may have peace." This year, as you read once more through the story of Christ's birth, I encourage you to try to catch something new in the story. Maybe ask yourself what it would be like from the perspective of the shepherds watching their flocks. Pay attention to the new insights and share them with your family and friends. By sharing, you offer to others the gift of God's peace, which you have already received. On this second Sunday of Advent, united with other believers from around the world, we light the candle of peace. As we joyfully anticipate the arrival of Christmas, we reflect on the profound sacrifice of Jesus, our ultimate source of peace. May the gentle glow of the peace candle illuminate our hearts and homes and serve as a reminder of the transformative power of Christ's love.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you for sending your Son to us. As we read in the account of the Christmas story, and know we may have heard this story dozens of times, Lord, help us to realize the astounding truth of the miracle of Christ's birth, and let us pick up on the small details, why you chose shepherds to see Jesus first, and why Jesus had to be born in a stable, the importance of the town of Bethlehem. The list can go on and on. Lord, help us to experience the glimpses of joy everyone present at Jesus' birth would have felt. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much. Livia, you did a nice job. Thank you. Alexandria and Jackson, thank you all. Okay, why don't we stand now, and we're going to share in a hymn, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," second verse only, page 123. Bulletin for this morning's call to worship. This coming from portions of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah writes, "So it was when the angels had gone, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. And the babe was found lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Then the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. That's Luke chapter 2, not Isaiah 9. Okay, let's turn in our hymnals now. Page 128, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Seated. I'd like to share now any of our praises or prayers that that you would like to lift up at this time. I think a praise we have is that Janet is feeling better and back with us. She was on our prayer list last week, and we're so glad to have her back and feeling better. And so we know that's answered prayers, although I think she would ask you just to continue to be in prayer for her and for her healing. So we just praise the Lord, though, for that good thing. And Janet, we're glad to see you this morning. Also, if you would, keep the Brandon Kaiser family in your prayers. Brandon was a young man and has passed away. And if you would, just be in prayer for that Kaiser family. I think he was 30... Deborah knows that, 35, so young, and right here at Christmas. If you would, just keep the Kaiser family in your prayers. The service is today, I think, at Johnson's for him, and so certainly our prayers are for them through this time of great loss and sadness in their family. And we just lift each of the Kaiser family up in this moment of grief and suffering in their family. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Anything else? Megan?
A praise.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was probably 40 or 50 cars that went through, so that's a praise
that
people in our community got to experience.
It was very beautiful, and there are so many other things, too. I know there's one coming up as well. If you didn't get to go to the one at Parnassus, I think there's a walk-through nativity that is coming up at the Sangersville Church of the Brethren. I'll be sure to post that. I think I have a flyer for it, and I'll put that on the bulletin and get that information out to everyone. But there's a lot of great things, and a live nativity like that is just a great way to celebrate Christ, to celebrate His coming to earth, and just to worship there. So, yeah, glad that that went well, and praise the Lord. And Megan, you guys were the inn. They live right beside the Parnassus Church there, so I think they were the inn. And yeah, thanks for sharing that, Megan. Other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? With that, I'm going to call on our ushers now to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Bow our heads together in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, even as I sat there Lord, I was reminded this morning, Lord, that there are those that are recovering from this tornado, even down in the Tennessee area there in Nashville. Lord, six lives were taken there yesterday, even because of this. And Lord, just pray for that community right now, Lord. We lift them up. Lord, those that have are suffering the reality of losing their loved ones through this, Lord, I just pray for them right now. Lord, we just offer our prayer of your comfort and your care for them. Lord, we just pray that that community comes together, supports one another, loves one another through this tragic time. And Lord, that right here at Christmas, to lose so much, their homes even. Lord, we just pray that that community will come together and support each other at this very extremely difficult time. Lord, we pray for those on our prayer list this morning as well, those families this morning that are going to be going through worship service, Lord, and reflecting on the loss of their loved ones. Lord, we just pray that your comfort and your peace would go out to those that need it, especially at this time of year. Lord, we just pray that your peace would just cover them. And Lord, that they might feel the presence of your peace even now. Lord, we thank you for the offering this morning. Lord, we bring it before you. We give it to you. Lord, it's not for our own benefit, but Lord, it's to benefit you, Lord, and to praise you and to worship you through these offerings. And Lord, we know that we are so overly blessed. Lord, our list of blessings goes on and on. And Lord, we seek to bless you even through just how you bless us. Lord, continue to be with us, I pray, this service. Lord, I pray your Spirit speaks to us. Lord, I pray that again, right here at this at Advent, Lord, we are reminded of love and peace and joy and hope, Lord. All these things that we dwell and think about at Christmas, Lord, I pray again that our hearts are just reminded, and Lord, we are encouraged in our faith by these things that are delivered to us through your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, most of all, in all that we do here today, we worship and praise him. Lord, none of this would be possible without him, the one who came and dwelt among us. Lord, he was God in the flesh, and we worship him here this morning. We praise the name of Jesus. Lord, we will praise his name in heaven for thousands and thousands of years, but we begin right here, Lord, even today. We praise the name of Jesus, and we worship him as our Lord and Savior. We pray that that light will go and shine out into the dark world today. Lord, help us to be that light bearer. But Lord, we praise his name here this morning, and we pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's group can be dismissed. Youth Sunday School, Children's Church. I think they're excited because they're having a little Christmas party downstairs, and they're looking forward to that, I know. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're kind of going to pick up here before where our call to worship started. But we're reading verses 8 through verse 16, really looking at this account of the shepherds there watching their flocks when they had this amazing announcement proclaimed to them by angels, by an angel of God. And we're picking up here in this story, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks," or their flock by night. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 15. And so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It's an amazing story here, isn't it? In the story of the Nativity. And we see here this remarkable event happening as shepherds were out just watching their sheep. And here was this message brought of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. You know, I think God is the best gift giver at Christmas, isn't He? We all give gifts probably at Christmas, or we receive gifts at Christmas. But our gifts are sort of mundane compared to that of God. You know, we give socks and shirts and jewelry or video games, something like that. But what does God give us? Well, He gives us hope, doesn't He, at Christmas. He gives us joy at Christmas. Fills our heart and our lives with joy. He fills our life and our hearts with His love at Christmas. And He also gives us here peace. And that's what the angels proclaim. Peace on earth. This goodwill that would be towards all men. It's amazing to me that there are those today that would choose to reject the gifts of Christ rather than receive these wonderful things that Christ desires to give to every person. You know, peace is a wonderful thing. I think many times the world is searching for these things. They just are looking in all the wrong areas to find them. Love, hope, joy, peace. The world wants these things. But they look in the wrong areas. They do not look to Christ to bring the peace, the love, the joy that they desire. They search for it in their own foolish ways. But what does God tell us? That if we want these things, if we want peace, we want to receive peace, that there is one who brings peace to us. And He is Christ the Lord. And that's what the angels are proclaiming. Born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so peace had come. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus is the giver of peace, isn't He? He's the giver of peace. That peace that dwells within our heart. The peace between God and man. Jesus brings this to us, this peace from above. Now, to start our story here, we see, you know, Jesus talks about not letting your hearts be troubled or be afraid. And we find some shepherds whose hearts are troubled and who are quite afraid, aren't they? It says, in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And look there, it says, and they were greatly afraid. You know, it was common in that day for the shepherds to be out watching their flocks. Someone has once said, and I think this is true, that more than likely this was an event that took place probably more in the summer or spring than it did in the winter, because the shepherds were out on the hillside grazing the sheep, and that's not something that you would do in December. And so, you know, it's not necessarily Christmas is not necessarily the day, is it? Just because we've chosen a day, it's not necessarily that that is so important. It's the celebration that and the remembrance of Christ's birth that is so important. And so so they were out watching their flocks. You know, it was a common practice for shepherds in that day that they would have one pen that they would use, kind of a communal pen, where they would bring all the sheep, and the sheep would be put and placed into one particular pen, much different than the way we would do it today. We would think to keep the sheep separate, because you know, you have your sheep, and I have my sheep, and he has his sheep. You wouldn't want to blend all the sheep together, but that's not how they would do it in that day. These were kind of, they were freely grazing the sheep in a particular area, and they would bring all the sheep into this common pen, and they would pin them up at nighttime. And then the shepherds would sit together, probably around a campfire, and probably share stories and just talk among themselves. And that's when this event happened. These shepherds were together, and the sheep were there pinned up. It makes good sense, though, when you understand that, when Jesus talks about he is the good shepherd. Remember, he says in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. I am known by my own. What would happen in the morning when the shepherds were, you know, would release the sheep from the pen? You know, the pen was to keep them safe from animals getting them at nighttime. It was just a walled area, stone and whatnot, that they had built up to pen them at night. But in the morning, the shepherds, they were so familiar with their sheep, and the sheep so familiar with their shepherd, that all they would need to do is call into the pen, come out, sheep. And the sheep would know the shepherd's voice of whose shepherd was, who was their shepherd, and they would come out, and away they would go with that particular shepherd. They didn't have to go through and sort the sheep out and try to divide them, but the sheep knew exactly where to go. And boy, it just makes so much sense when you hear Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Sheep know me. My sheep, he says in verse 27, John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And so these shepherds were there watching their flocks by night when this fear came upon them as this angel appeared before them, proclaiming this good news. You know, to see an angel, it must be quite a frightening thing. It seems wherever you read in the scriptures of someone seeing an angel, that they are immediately frightened for their life. You see Zechariah, when he, it says he was gripped by fear. Mary was greatly troubled, it says. It seems like wherever you read in the scriptures of an angel proclaiming himself, that people tend to fear. And this is potentially because angels are certainly more powerful beings than we are. At times, God would, throughout the Old Testament, disperse an angel to kill off the armies of a particular people, thousands of people. And this is just one angel. You know, that's much more powerful than we are to accomplish such a feat. And so they must be very powerful beings. And we do fear those things that are more powerful than us. That could potentially be a reason why people fear. Also, an angel was a messenger of God. And at times throughout the Old Testament, God would send an angel to deliver a message. Sometimes the message wasn't always good. Oftentimes the message was bad. In fact, he would send angels to deliver his message of justice. Remember when the Israelites were leaving, or well, they were being delivered from Egypt. And the last plague was the plague that was to bring death upon the firstborn of Egypt. And guess who was dispersed to accomplish that? An angel of God. The angel of death was sent by God to strike down the firstborn of all of Egypt. So you could imagine in the Jewish mind, here's an angel. And history has shown at times when angels appear, it's always for bad things, that God's justice is being delivered out. And so that too could have brought the shepherds about to fear for their life, fear for what was about to happen. Also, I don't know if you've read through the scripture of description of angels, the characteristics or the description of different angels. And there's several different forms recorded in the scriptures, beings, seraphim and cherubim and so on and so forth. But oftentimes as they are described, it's quite a terrifying thing just in the description. Ezekiel 1:5 talks about that angels are, they had like the likeness of man, so they look like a man. Now that we can all kind of accept that. But then it goes on to describe the angel. It says, each one had four faces. Now that's starting to look a little different, isn't it? They had the likeness of a man, but they all had four faces. And each one had four wings. And their legs were straight. Now that's kind of odd, isn't it? Their legs were straight. The soles of their feet were like the soles of calves. And so I guess they would have more of a calf-like hoof to their foot than what we would have. It goes on to say that they sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. So this really bright yellowish light that emitted from them. That says the hands of man were under their wings on their four sides. And each of their four faces and wings, and for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man, each had the face of a lion, on the right side the face of an ox, and on the left side the face of an ox, and each four had the face of an eagle. Now that's quite interesting, isn't it? So you can imagine now that what these shepherds might be seeing isn't just like the picture of an angel in your mind that maybe you have. It could be very different. Some of the other angels in the scriptures are describing as being covered with eyes. Could you imagine? That would be quite wild looking, wouldn't it? And so So you can imagine here that this would be just the visual of this angel would be quite a frightening thing, as they look very different than we do. And so at their appearance, it must have communicated this fear, this trepidation. But notice they did not come to bring fear, but rather this message of peace and goodwill that would be to all people. Now, what was their message of peace? Well, first of all, the peace message was that a Savior would be born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. That is a great message of peace, isn't it? That you're going to receive or have received a Savior. And we've all at times needed a Savior, haven't we? Not necessarily, I'm not talking about just a Savior of Christ. We know we need Him. But I'm talking just in general, we've needed being saved from something at times. I was thinking of at times maybe I'd broken down beside the road. And my car was broke down and I needed someone to come save me because I couldn't get my car going. And someone would come. And what a great feeling that was when they arrived, that I had someone to help me, someone to save me from that situation. We've all needed people to save us from a certain particular situations. Maybe you've been in a medical emergency and you've needed to call on the rescue squad and for the rescue workers to come and save you in your time of need. Maybe you've needed the fire department to come and save you if your house was on fire. it can be quite a wonderful thing to have a Savior come, someone that's coming to rescue you and save you from your trouble. I remember there was a time when Deborah, this was years ago, she had a really severe asthma attack. And she'd had asthma attacks before, but this one seemed to be worse than those previously. And it got worse and worse, and to the point of where, you know, we were trying to keep her conscious. And at some point, we just called 911. I mean, it was needed. And so there was this fear that they, you know, in between the time we called to the time they got there, we were stressed. We were in fear. We were scared that she was going to stop breathing completely. But then I remember as we were waiting, all of a sudden there was that knock on the door, and we opened the door, and in come the rescue workers. And they came with oxygen. They came with medicine. They came to provide help. And I tell you, there was just a sense of relief when they got there. There was a peace that was delivered in that moment. That before it wasn't, you know, before I was just anxious, I was fearful, I was frightened. But then when they came through the door, it's just, there's a Savior. They've come to help. They've come to help me and her in this very dangerous time. And they gave her oxygen and they gave her help and they loaded her up and took her to the hospital and got her help. And praise the Lord. But just the peace you feel when someone is sent to save you in a moment like that, in a situation like that, it's quite a peaceful thing. Well, the world is in need of a Savior, isn't it? It's in need of a Savior. A dying world. A world that is dying, not of asthma, but a world that is dying of sin. And we need a Savior. We needed someone to come and save us in that critical moment when all things looked bleak, when we felt hopeless, when we thought there was no help at all. There's a knock on the door, and who comes in but Christ Himself? And He delivers that hope and that help that we need. And He delivers to us that message of peace. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 says, that when Jesus came, He came ready to preach and He brought glad tidings to the poor. He brought the peace to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to open the prison for those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, to give the beauty from ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. This is the message that Christ brings to us. He's come. He's come at that critical moment, at that critical hour, and He brings to us that salvation, that help, that saving help that we so badly need. Okay, number one, the peaceful message of a Savior born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Secondly, notice they said here, this message of peace, which is a baby that you will find wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. What could be a more peaceful image than that of a baby wrapped in this bundle of swaddling cloth laying in a manger? That's quite a peaceful scene in itself, isn't it? You know, someone once said, if our greatest need had been information, that God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, that God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. And our Savior came in one of the most non-intimidating ways. He came as a baby. A baby. What threatening thing could a baby do? There's no threatening thing that a baby presents. What danger, what fear does a baby bring? We think of God, we think of that fear that might come upon us just even by the very thought of God. But here, God came to us in the most innocent of ways in the form of a baby. And He brings to us that message of peace, even through the image of the child, the Christ child, there silently laying in the manger scene. What a thing for the shepherds to find there, Mary and Joseph, and this baby laying in a manger. Hope had come in the form of a child. Psalms 8:2 says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, You have ordained strength. Number three, lastly here, the peaceful message was God's glory in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill, which would be towards all mankind. The message of peace was there sung by angels at His birth, but it was not just only meant to be heard by shepherds, but by the whole world, wasn't it? I picked up on that as we were reading here, even again just seeing that the Lord has made known to us there, they say. Let us go see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. What an important statement. The Lord has been made known to you as well, hasn't He? Even as He proclaimed this to shepherds long ago, so does He continue to proclaim this message of peace and love to all people today. The anointed message of glory to the highest, peace on earth and goodwill, is towards all men, and it is to be proclaimed throughout the entire earth. And this message brings peace to the hearts and minds of those who hear it. It has for 2,000 years, and it will continue for however long the Lord tarries. The message of peace. I guess the question is, have you received the peace of Christ? Have you received that peace into your heart, into your life? That peace should be real within our life. It should be lived out each and every day, that God's peace speaks to us. It helps us. Keeps us calm when things look out of control. It gives us hope when we might feel hopeless. God's peace is real. I pray that you have received that peace into your life. And I pray most of all that you go proclaim that peace to those around you, others. The shepherds went and they seen and they told those things which had been said unto them. I think the same is required of us. We are to go and tell others of this peace which comes to all mankind through the gift of Jesus. I pray this Christmas you hear and receive the message of peace on earth, but more importantly, I hope you share it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this message from angels. Lord, that there was this multitude there proclaiming and singing glory to God in the highest. Lord, it was a important moment, maybe the most important moment in the history of the world. Lord, we know that these angels, they were glorifying God because God had done such a wonderful thing here upon this earth. that to mankind he had delivered the best message, the message of peace. Lord, man needs peace. We need peace in our life. We need your peace in our life. Lord, we need peace first of all with you. Lord, we know that there is division between man and you because of sin. And Lord, you would one day make peace between us through your Son Jesus there upon a cross. Lord, thank you for the peace that you have brought about between us and you through the forgiveness of sin purchased there on the cross of Calvary. Lord, thank you for that peace we have with you, and Lord, that we have each and every day in our life. Lord, there's the peace of knowing, Lord, that you've prepared for us a place there in heaven. There's the peace that we receive in knowing, Lord, that death will not conquer us, that it has no more sting. Lord, that the grave is not final. But there's the peace of knowing that our life moves and dwells beyond this place because of your Son Jesus. Lord, there's a peace of knowing that we have a church family around us, like here this morning, that loves, encourages, helps. Lord, you've not left us alone. There's the peace of knowing, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is that helper in our life to help us to live out this Christian life. Lord, there's just so many facets to this peace which we have received from you. And Lord, we just thank you this morning for this peace which we have been given, which we have received. And Lord, I just pray you put within us the courage to proclaim that good news, even like the angels of old, Lord, that we proclaim the good news to the world around us, that peace has come, has been delivered in the form of a Son, a Savior, Christ Jesus. Lord, maybe we've been in a situation where we felt we needed someone to save us. Maybe we felt as if there was no one even leading up to this hour to help us in our time of need. I pray that we right now might be reminded that God, you have sent us a Savior to save us in our time of trouble. A helper to help us. Lord, we thank you that we have Jesus in our life. Lord, thank you so much for that peace that he offers us. We praise him. We praise his name here this morning. And we thank you so much for all those things that we have received through your Son, Christ. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. It's page 138. And it's Go Tell It on the Mountain. And it starts, While Shepherds Kept Their Watching. So perfect for our scripture and sermon today. So let's stand together and sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, page 138. Thank you. Just a reminder, following the service, we are having that quick called CBM meeting. And then following that, the children will come in the sanctuary to practice their music. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go, Lord, we go, Father, gathered in your peace. We go, Father, with the message of your peace in our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, I just pray that this Christmas, maybe, Lord, as we get so busy with other things, that, Lord, we might again just be reminded, even in those busy moments, that, Lord, we have truly received a great blessing through your Son, Jesus, at Christmas. That's what we celebrate. That's what we rejoice in. And, Lord, that message of peace, Lord, resonates throughout this whole season of Christmas. And, Lord, we just celebrate and rejoice in the peace in which you have delivered unto each one of us because of him. Father, we praise his name here together. We worship him. We thank you for his life. Lord, we receive that peace into our hearts and to our lives because we have received Jesus. And we thank you for him, Father. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.